are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode for Friday, November the 15th, and talking some Charlotte Hornets today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Appreciate all you guys doing that. Today we're going to talk about tonight's game for the Pistons in Charlotte, the Queen City, taking on the Hornets. We're also going to talk to Nick Carboni, my good friend, and also the sports director at WCNC in Charlotte, as we prepare for the first of three games in 15 days between these two teams. So we will be keeping a close eye on the Charlotte Hornets over these next couple weeks. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons back in action at 4-8 on Friday night tonight in Charlotte before 4 days off and playing against the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday night on the road. And then it seems like one of those must-win type of games. And then the weekend, next weekend, like it's kind of a light week over these next several days, but next weekend back at it with the Atlanta Hawks coming to Little Caesars Arena on Friday night in a rematch of a game from earlier this season. A little bit of a revenge week for Chicago and Atlanta. And then after that, the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday night in Milwaukee for the ultimate revenge of a team that beat the crap out of the Pistons 8 times last season, if you include the 4-0 playoff sweep in the first round. 4-8 for the Pistons right now, with the potential to close out November pretty good with a weak schedule that this team needs to capitalize on. Starting tonight with the Hornets at 7 o'clock, the first meeting in 15 days between these three teams who will play three times, or these two teams. Let me start over. This is the first meeting of three over the next 15 days between these two teams. A series that will continue over a sandwiching of Thanksgiving on the day before Thanksgiving in Charlotte and the day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday that evening for the Pistons against the Hornets back in downtown Detroit. Tonight's game, the Pistons are 3-point favorites in this one. Interesting to note that the Pistons lost all four of their games against the Charlotte Hornets last year. A big reason for this team finishing right at 500 and having to take on the Milwaukee Bucks as an 8th seed in the first round. So an important one, an important stretch. You got to get that monkey off your back with the Charlotte Hornets to begin with. But not only that, but dominate a team that should be dominated, not one of the very good teams in the NBA right now, a team that's looking at the lottery, although a pretty good start for them, 4-7, but a team that certainly we expect to be among the teams vying for one of the top five picks in the draft, which we'll talk to Nick Carboni about, but some pretty intriguing candidates in that top five of the NBA draft coming up next year. But what we already know here on Thursday evening as we tape this is that Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose are not even on the injury report, so that's as good a sign as any that those guys are doing a lot better, ready to roll in tonight's game. Some minor bad news is that Tony Snell did show up on the injury report with a hip flexor strain. He is still probable for this one. For the Hornets, no Nick Batum, and who has a broken finger, and Dwayne Bacon is probable, so he should go tonight as well. But maybe someone to go after defensively there. But some more Piston stuff that we came across on the internet on Thursday. Bill Simmons of The Ringer, instead of putting out an update to his Book of Basketball, which came out several years back, he put together a series of podcast episodes, which is the Book of Basketball 2.0. The reason I mention this is because they have a rewatchable series as part of this larger series, and one of those was Bill sitting down with J.A. Anande of, I believe he's still with ESPN or wherever J.A. is with, maybe Fox Sports, I don't know, but a big basketball mind and personality that we know. They sat down and talked about the 2004 Game 4 between the Pistons and Lakers, not the series-ending sweep there in Game 5 where Darko broke his arm, but the game where the Pistons kind of took Shaq's last bullet and knocked out the effectively knocked out the Lakers in that one. I know you guys remember that game. I saw a clip on Facebook. I have not listened to the full version, hour plus of the podcast yet with those two, but I did see a quick video version of it where they talked about the most rewatchable part of that game. And it wasn't the one that I thought of. I thought Rasheed Wallace getting into it with Slava Medvedenko and then kind of taunting him a couple times after making some big shots on him on the other end was the big moment of that game. But they talked about the stretch later on with some missed free throws by the Lakers and a couple of big Chauncey Billups three-pointers to knock the Lakers out of that one and effectively end that series as the Pistons got the championship, first of two appearances in the NBA Finals in consecutive seasons, the third title for this team in franchise history. I know you guys remember it. I know it brings chills to your spine thinking about that in those better days with the Detroit Pistons. But speaking of better days, I got to give a salute to my college newspaper. Of course, those are all better days when you think back to those college glory days. But Central Michigan Life is the student newspaper up in Mount Pleasant. Not a sponsor of the show. I'm doing this on my own. We are celebrating this weekend the 100-year anniversary of the publication. I'm going to be up there partying in Mount Pleasant with some of my old college friends and the older folks that are CMU people and the current kids and the younger folks and all that. So looking forward to spending some time with some Chippewas up there, but just wanted to give a Locked On Pistons salute to the past, present, and future of Central Michigan Life newspaper. Churned out a lot of talented journalists over the years and also churned out myself too. So big ups to Central Michigan Life. And go check out some of their stuff. Go check out CM Life, cm-life.com. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Facebook, all that good stuff. And do some research. The great Terry Foster, who we've had on this show, friend of mine, will be joining us up there as well, sharing some stories. And a lot of good CMU journalists out there in the working world. A lot of the people that you read and listen to are CMU people. And I just wanted to give some props to the Chippewas out there. But by the way, you need to use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA and mybookie will match 50% of your first deposit. Up next, we are going to talk to a good friend of mine. This feels like a bit of a self-serving episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're going to talk to Nick Carboni, the sports director down in WCNC of the Charlotte TV station down there, about the Hornets, an important stretch of games coming up with the Pistons and the Hornets here. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by the great Nick Carboni of WCNC in Charlotte, one of my good buddies. Anytime the Pistons have three games upcoming in 15 days with the Charlotte Hornets, I'm going to call Nick Carboni and find out what's going on with the CLT down there. Nick, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me. Three Pistons-Hornets games in 15 days. They're all TNT games, I would assume.
I would assume, yeah. I think it's going to be sold out at all the arenas.
What the people want to see.
Yeah, we got a little home-and-home coming up the day before Thanksgiving. They're going to be down in Charlotte, and then the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, back here in Detroit. I'm assuming the teams will probably just commute together on the same plane, maybe have Thanksgiving
dinner together.
Yeah. That sounds like a good
move. They're about the same family.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Based on where they are in the NBA. So
yeah, they're pretty much in that stuck in the middle here, although it seems like the Charlotte Hornets coming into the season anyway have probably taken at least a half step back, and at least their perception of being a possible playoff team downgraded to a very unlikely playoff team at this point. But you were in the house to watch the Kemba Walker return game recently. What was that like for a guy who was kind of everything for that franchise for several years there, a lot of the scoring records? What was that like to be in the house for Kemba back in the CLT?
Well, first of all, I think it was great for everybody involved to kind of get it out of the way early in the season and not have to kind of have this slow build-up to it. Kemba Walker was a guy, you know, one of these rare superstars in the NBA, or star, that really just over his eight seasons here, you know, when he was an all-star and when he wasn't an all-star, treated a lot of people in the building, in the media, in the seats, with a great deal of respect. And it was really cool to see that respect return to him. I mean, there's not even a hint of anybody booing. I mean, he's a guy that left for more money at the end of the day. You know, it was just cool to see him back connecting with the city that he really genuinely loves and still refers to at times as home. Great tribute video. He got emotional. He didn't play well. He pressed, which he kind of does in a lot of homecoming games, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, he's got a lot of guys around him now to help him out when he doesn't.
And speaking of having not a lot of guys around him, I guess it would be the new role of Terry Rozier, who kind of switched places with Kemba Walker with the Celtics and the Hornets, and kind of a little overpaid as far as NBA folks around the league say, but now in his role as a lead guard, which is something that I imagine he prefers, having the ball in his hands quite a bit. How is the Terry Rozier leading the way experiment going, you know, 10 games or so in?
I think it's gotten off to a bit of a slow start, but when you consider the fact that this guy hasn't been a starter or, you know, the lead of a team for a full season, I think you can kind of expect that. I think he's still kind of gaining his ground, getting used to the guys around him, getting used to James Borrego as head coach. And you've also had the kind of just surprise, you know, surging of second-year guard Devontae Graham, who's averaging about 19 points a game right now, mostly off the bench. And in their most recent game against Memphis, they started together and Terry Rozier had his best game. And James Borrego told us today that he thinks a lot of that has to do with having Devontae out there so they can play off of one another. And that might be against certain lineups, a combination that they go with a heck of a lot based on the way Devontae's playing. And now based on the way Terry has played off of him.
Yeah, so I don't think he's lit it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I did catch the first half of that Boston-Charlotte game, and Graham was a guy who caught my eye as someone that's a little bit more competent and confident than you might expect a kind of an unheralded second-year guy to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think coming in here, people were excited about him, even as a second-round pick, and even when you had Kemba and a couple of other guys ahead of him at the time, just because he had so much floor time at Kansas, had so many moments in big games where he was relied upon to make a shot or create somebody else to have a shot. And I think, you know, you can't underrate or undervalue that experience with some guys. Now they've got to take their game to the pro level. And it seems like after a year, Devontae has kind of found that footing where he kind of has the confidence in his game and has grown his game to where he does belong out there.
And like you said, the type of player who makes, I know the owner, Michael Jordan, and like the fans who are big college basketball fans down there, impressed to see a guy coming from a blue blood program who they've heard of play big moments in NCAA tournaments and things like that. Another guy who falls along those lines is Michigan State's own Miles Bridges, a mid first round pick last year, coming into his second season. What's kind of the early returns on year two for Miles and some of the strides that he's made so far?
Well, he's got a lot of viral dunk videos, had one against Memphis. So
don't we all, Nick?
He's like, yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you got to start there and then move forward.
But, sure. As we know,
yeah, I think he's kind of carried what he did at the end of last season when he was getting a lot more playing time and he was starting more into his starting role this year. He hasn't been a world beater by any stretch of the imagination. I think his kind of growth has been, you know, steady and maybe a little bit overshadowed by just the leaps and bounds that a guy like Devontae Graham has taken. But he's clearly established himself as a member of this young core going forward and should be for, you know, at least another handful of years. I think he's proven himself to be a player that should be starting for this team and will for a while. And, you know, just needs to keep progressing with the shot, keep progressing with being aggressive and putting it on the deck, keep progressing with the defense. And, you know, he's got a lot of tools and he's just kind of sharpening them right now. And I think his future is pretty solid.
I seem to recall some plays at Coryell Courts on the sport court in Springfield, Missouri that could have been viral videos for yourself as well. So he's on the right track.
Being posterized, really. there were some tough moments for me, but
Nick and I have a history back in the Ozarks where we met and became good friends.
Yes, basketball is king out there, so we had to get out there and show our game.
Absolutely, and another guy.
Wasn't the court like half size and made of rubber?
Oh, no. It was the right size. It made me feel like I could run up and down the court easily. That was perfect.
Absolutely.
In my mind, it will always be perfect size. But speaking of, you know, places where basketball is king, all sorts of Kentucky Wildcats. on the Charlotte Hornets. And like I said, this is kind of par for the course for Michael Jordan. It seems like he kind of watches March Madness every year and calls up the four blue blood programs and finds out the scouting reports. But this year, the latest flavor of the month is PJ Washington, who, and we kid about Michael Jordan, but some of these guys have turned out to be pretty good pros, and some of them not so, just like most every team, I suppose. But PJ Washington is a rookie who kind of had a pretty brash social media outburst after a start, I believe, if I recall correctly, scrolling through Twitter there. But it sounds like a guy who has really shown some promise as another mid-first round prospect for the Hornets.
Yeah, he hit 7 threes in his debut, which was some sort of record. It was definitely a Hornets record. Maybe a rookie debut record league-wide. When you think of some of the guys who can shoot coming through the league that have had good debuts, he certainly did not expect that from him. Remember the day of that game, first game of the year shoot-around, the question posed to James Borrego was something along the lines of, has anything surprised you about PJ Washington? I think it was Mitch Kupchak, the general manager. And it was, yeah, we knew he was working on his shot, and his shot had come a long way from his freshman to sophomore seasons at Kentucky. We did not know he could shoot this well. That ended up being prophetic for that first game, especially because he shot it incredibly well. He's been very good from three this year. And for a guy that's kind of a tweener, a guy that, you know, you're wondering, okay, how high is this guy's ceiling in the NBA? Well, that was the X factor. Can he shoot? He's proven that so far. The Hornets were actually the top three-point shooting team at least six games through the season, which was incredibly surprising. But he has been a fantastic surprise based on where they drafted him and what Hornets fans are kind of hoping he could become. He's given them a lot of hope, and along with it, the young core, a lot of hope in what this group can become for this franchise with another added piece next year, hopefully high up in the lottery.
Yeah, and P.J. Washington, a guy that we talked about here on Locked On Pistons quite a bit leading up to the draft as a possible target for the Pistons, was one of those highly touted Kentucky freshmen, came in, had a little bit of a disappointing freshman season, and came back as a sophomore, and like you said, kind of showed some strides and maybe a little bit of the professionalism and hard work that they were looking for, showed that as a sophomore, and it seems to be off to a good start in Charlotte. But a couple other Wildcats that I wanted to ask you about real quick before we let you go here, Nick. Malik Monk is a guy who has been a bit of a disappointment, someone that Pistons fans, he was so close to falling all the way to them a couple years back, and it was someone that I wanted the Pistons to take in the draft if he would have fell. But Charlotte reached out and got him there. And then Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is a guy who was, I believe, the second pick of the draft in a weak year.
Yep, so, second overall.
Yeah, so, I mean, it seems like those guys are kind of going on opposite trajectories right now, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And all you have to do is look at the minutes played this year. I'd be hard-pressed to imagine Michael Kidd-Gilchrist's total 10 minutes this season, while Malik Monk is, you know, one of these guys under James Borrego in Borrego's second season. And, you know, with where the franchise is in terms of obviously not competing for a playoff spot, almost, you know, 100% likely not going to make the playoffs, you know, they're going to play the young guys. They're going to bench guys like Nick Batum, who's making, you know, tons of money, in order to just play the guys that they feel are part of the future. And Malik Monk, despite the disappointment of last season, his second year, is definitely one of those guys they want to see, at least see what they've got with him. And it's funny, we're recording this the day after he scored 20 in that game against the Grizzlies, a hard-fought loss against Ja Morant in Memphis for the Hornets. Malik Monk scored 20 off the bench and, you know, really surprised a lot of people with his willingness to attack the rim. He put on supposedly 20 pounds, although if I gained 20 pounds to look like that dude, like, that'd be amazing. I don't know how he did it. But, you know, the effort was there to be stronger, to attack more, to get to the rim more. He's an explosive athlete, so it's hard to believe that, you know, that wasn't there. I think he came into the league and it was a different circumstance, a team trying to make the playoffs and bring him along. And he kind of would come off the bench and just stand there and wait for his turn to shoot. And it didn't always have the desired results. He wasn't filling the bucket, certainly, like he did at Kentucky. The other thing was his defense. And I think when James Borrego told us this morning that Malik's matured more, I don't think that's, you know, anything off the court. He hasn't been in trouble or anything. It's just being a professional, coming to work, learning how to play defense in the league, which is obviously a lot different. And if he can do that and attack and shoot, he's going to have a future here. And he even said something today to the effect of, you know, they haven't seen all I can do yet. And I think he's just trying to add things to his game, because maybe he's not just going to be the fill-up shooter that everybody thought he would be when he came into the NBA.
Well, a lot of nice pieces, a lot of intriguing young pieces, but doesn't seem like there's that one cornerstone player that, you know, that Kemba Walker, for lack of a better term, and you wonder if they end up in the top five of the draft with a nice class of potential stars in the, you know, the James Wisemans of the world and Edwards and Ball, the young man out there, LaMelo. So, I mean, there's some guys out there that might be able to turn this franchise. And like you said, some decent pieces. But from the Pistons' perspective, got cooked by Kemba Walker all last year, a 4-0 season for the Hornets against the Pistons. And really one of the big, you know, four or five subplots of the season for the Pistons that kind of derailed what could have been a 6 or 7 seed and ended up getting swallowed whole by Giannis and the Bucks in the first round instead. So a little bit of revenge on the minds of Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and the Pistons, and we'll see how this goes.
Well, they will likely get it based on the Hornets' performance in the paint, specifically defensively. That's been really tough for them. Basically, any team with a Karl Anthony Towns or anybody of that ilk or even anybody slightly under that caliber is going to have a field day in the paint against this team. And I don't expect that to change just based on the roster. So they'll have their hands full with those two guys in the next couple of weeks here.
In the second game of the season, which will be coming up for Blake Griffin on Friday, and might be undervalued in daily fantasy a little bit. So if you're one of the DraftKings or FanDuel types, that might be a nice pickup for folks there. But Nick Carboni,
that's definitely the inside scoop there.
You go. Always a nice pickup to get Nick Carboni on the show. Thanks for taking the time. And, take care of our Pistons on Friday night, and we'll see you down the road.
Anytime, Matt. Thanks.
Big thanks once again to Nick Carboni of WCNC in Charlotte for joining us. We thank him for his time and look forward to when we get together with him sometime soon. A good friend of mine that I'm in a group chat with him and our brother buddy Chris Besnett out in Nebraska. We're always talking about how we can get our crew together sometime, whether that be in Detroit or Charlotte or Lincoln, Nebraska, or possibly a neutral site like New Orleans or Chicago or New York or something like that. But we got to find a time on the calendar to get together with the old friends. I know you guys got it too. You got old friends all over the country or maybe all over Michigan that you don't spend time with enough. And Nick's one of those guys. So thanks to him for taking the time to join us. He's a big time sports guy down in there in Charlotte, covering the Carolina Panthers and Charlotte Hornets and all the college and high school stuff down there. And we're real proud of Nick. So keep up the good work. Television's Nick Carboni. But also good luck to your favorite in this weekend's Michigan-Michigan State game, a big sports weekend that's going on here. I will be in Ann Arbor tonight to check out the big one. I mean, everyone's talking football, Michigan-Michigan State. The big game is the Michigan basketball game against Elon. So I'll be there covering that one for the Associated Press before leaving town and hitting Mount Pleasant on Saturday. But good luck to your side of the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry. It's one of the more annoying sports weeks for me. I pretty much avoided the Michigan and Michigan State talk this week, and I'm proud of myself for doing that. I just feel like people with their college rivalries get a little immature about it, and I'm glad that I was able to steer clear of all the rivalry talk. Of course, both of these teams not really put their feathers up high these days, kind of teams that want to stay in the background with everything that's going on with Mark D'Antonio and Michigan State. And then, of course, Jim Harbaugh, a little bit of a bounce back these last few weeks, but certainly not anything to crow about with the Michigan football team in this past decade or so plus as well. But something that you should be crowing about is Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and entertainment. Got to work on some of these segues. But start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. to learn all about this great service, one that would be a great gift for the book lover in your life as well. But this is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks to Nick Carboni once again for joining us. Enjoy the game tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. Enjoy the football weekend. Enjoy whatever else you're going to enjoy this weekend as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys Monday, breaking down Friday's game and also looking ahead to the Chicago Bulls. And I got some other things on tap that I'm excited to share with you guys this weekend. Fire up, Chips. Congratulations for 100 years to Central Michigan Life. and we will talk to you guys on Monday.